Live from the Pathway Studios in Johnston proper, you are Live from the Path.
You're listening to Live from the Path. We're coming from the Pathway Studios here in Johnston proper.
Yeah, I got a confession. We've been listening to this song for like how many years now?
At least six.
Oh, a long time.
Five, six.
And you guys are singing along. I'm like, I know like the first three words. That's like it.
Hey, so when we decided to use this tune for the beginning of the show, I thought we got to do this legit, right? So I sent an email to the band that plays it and their management, you know. And they finally ignored me completely.
Huh.
And I thought, man,
they'll send a bill.
Am I doing the wrong thing by thinking, hey, man, if you can't answer your emails, I'm going to use this to tune.
So we get flagged for it on YouTube.
What do you mean?
Yeah. So like, if you look at the if you watch the show on YouTube, there's a link to the tune down at the bottom.
Oh.
So we're free style on use policy on the YouTube.
Oh, well, good.
Hey, if you've been feeling illegitimate, Mike, you're
I'm going to stop repenting of it. It's been taken up, I mean, minutes out of my week for the last 5 years.
I
probably repented of stealing this tune. I mean, total of 45 minutes over the last 5 years. That's too much.
I think repentance means to actually change, but I'm just, you know.
Yeah, I don't mean to be theologically technical here, Mike.
You've continued to do what you were doing.
I don't even have a rebuttal. He's right.
I'm just saying.
I haven't been doing it right.
No, I'm thinking about it. One of these days, I'm really going to do it differently.
You know, Lord, I should change that, but I just love that song. You know what I'm saying. You've heard it.
It's got such a nice beat.
Who technically wrote it?
I'm just thinking of, like, how many people could come into the pastor's office and be like, hey, I think I'm repenting incorrectly. Wait, did we talk about this the last time? About what is the word? What is pent?
No.
If repent means to change, what does pent mean to stay the same?
I pented of my
sins? Yeah, because if it's pent up anger means that it stays. It makes total sense.
Makes sense to me.
Sorry.
I think you're playing with my language.
I feel like I don't even need to be here.
I straightened that out of my own mind. Here we go. You've been listening to Live from the Path for a matter of seconds. If you know how to make decent life choices, you've stopped at the computer, hugged your babies, and gone to bed. Here's what we got going on the show tonight. Good gracious, Tessa Johnson has... here's how I'm going to tell it. I'm going to tell it that she has been in Nashville and traveled to come onto the show and then is leaving tomorrow. Now, that is 100% accurate, except for it leaves out some other parts of when she actually got into town. But anyway, we are fortunate to have her back in the studio. It's been a few years, and we've got the restraining order lifted, and she's decided to come back into the program. So we're very excited, Tessa. Thank you for coming back on Live from the Path.
No problem.
So we're going to hear from her, figure out what's going on in her life in Nashville. She's got a brand new song that she's going to perform for us. And we were talking before the show, and I think we just got some interesting stuff to talk about, stuff that she's kind of run into from a Christian music perspective, from a understanding Christianity and things like depression and anxiety and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And so lots of interesting stuff, I think, to talk about there. Also, we got some advice on Dear Life from the Path. Mike, did you happen to check out some preview on the advice?
You know, here's what I got to tell you. It's a little rough right off the bat. Someone has apparently gifted, an older gentleman has gifted everyone at a party a nude calendar.
Oh,
no.
Of which he's in it.
I can't tell.
Did people ask for that, or did he just
judging by the short sentences I've read, it was not a, hey, is there any chance you could bring a nude calendar?
Was it like a vintage calendar, or like him now?
No, I think it was him now.
He really needs to repent of that. I can't tell if that's funny or not.
Well, that's the thing, because I'm not even sure this is up for discussion. I feel like the ground rules have been laid about you and your nakedness, so... I don't know. There's other options here. I'm going to read through them when there's a lull in the show.
Yeah.
See if I can't come up with something better to offer.
What the Lord has covered up, let no man reveal to others.
Yeah. I mean, he basically said, look, before you all leave this garden, you got to do something about that. I mean, I'm punishing you, but you cannot be flashing this about.
There is stuff everywhere. Go fasten some clothes.
You can feel it in your soul. Cover that.
Although, technically, David danced in the nude in celebration.
Is was that, it in public though, or was he hanging out?
Yes,
with
he was in like the streets. Is that a cultural item?
Yeah, but no one offered opinions of it. No one said, "Yeah, that's great," or "No, that's terrible." They just said it happened, which is very true of most of the Old Testament.
He
they stayed a fact.
The Ark of the Covenant was coming in. You know, sometimes I get naked in the streets when I'm overwhelmed. You know, but no, I haven't done that.
I mean, sometimes when the Christian Bookstore has sales,
the pencils at half price.
I get
apples are 40% off. It's time, boys.
Neither of which has caused me to head that direction. So anyway, I'm hoping to redeem it in some way, but that was the first topic up for discussion. We might buzz through it real quick.
Actually, so here's the thing. We do Dear Life in the Path, where people have written, and there is a secular advice. There's the world's reaction to a certain thing. This is the very thing that is probably right that we take at least a Jesus swing at.
Okay,
like,
fair enough.
We're coming from the right direction. As silly as that question sounds, maybe it's worth running through a thought.
Plus, you never know who's struggling with the same idea. And then, like, what you might say and be like, you know, I'm glad they brought that up because I was going to nuke the calendar this Christmas.
I have to figure out what I'm doing for Christmas now.
I was listening to late night internet radio and I was talked out of my nuke calendar. Good, we're here to help. Let's see, and before we ruin the show, so just a heads up on what's going on. We have Jeff Arendelle is going to be in studio next week. The Connection Music Festival is coming up. Yeah. It's in Norwalk. Sanctus Real is going to be there. Colton Dixon is going to be there. Jeff's going to be there. And so lots of cool artists.
I think We Are Leo is going to be there.
We Are Leo is going to be there. But we haven't seen them in a few years.
No. I think they have.
They pulled the Tessa Johnson on us. What they did.
I think they have the same publicist as whoever else I try to get on the show. There's just one guy that's like, yeah, my food sucks. You coming?
I know this gentleman.
Wait, who did I write? I can't remember. It was Perry Noble. I wrote Perry Noble a couple years back. I'm like, man, we would love to have you just Skype on the show or whatever. Take you like 15 minutes. It didn't even get past the secretary. She's like, Mr. Noble's not interested. I thought, we got to get a better logo or something. But I don't know. How about getting flagged by the guy at the front desk?
Let's see. So Arendelle's going to be on 2 weeks from now. Wayne Stewart's going to be here. So you know Wayne. Wayne's been on the show and performs a couple times, generally with Chris Akers, who also has a new album out. Mm-hmm. But Wayne's written a fiction book called When Totems Fall. You can get the pre-order for it on Amazon. Just go out and search for When Totems Fall. Book's Five Bones. And we're going to talk to Wayne and get some information on his book.
That
guy's up to everything.
Yeah.
I'll buy it for 50% off.
No. Isn't he who did the worship book, too?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
He wrote a worship book called Greater. Also excellent. It's an excellent book, and it talks about, like, our concept of worship limited to Sunday morning is just way too narrow. And we look at our lives as worship, and then how does that inform what we do kind of as a collective? And it's a very good book. And so, check that out. And then we got some technical stuff to work out. I think, but we are tentatively still on schedule to be at Bash on the Farm.
Yeah.
I think we're going to broadcast from Bash on the Farm. It's a Friday, Saturday. We haven't done like a full-on telethon-style broadcast for a few years, and so we're going to dust off our junk and try to turn on all the cameras and stuff and be streaming for a couple years.
Get the Live from the Path RV fired up.
Well, here's the deal. There's no publicists there. And I can just walk right up to people.
Sweet.
And when you have like two cameras and one microphone, people are like, hey, they look legit.
Yeah,
we just have to grab them on the way, but they're running by. No, you're in.
Yeah. Hey, we're on YouTube.
International.
Just like that cat with that thing where you blow up at the party. Go, yeah.
We've been in contact with Perry Noble.
He didn't contact back.
That's the way to put it. all right, there we go. Anyway, looks like really good stuff going on. And here's the deal. This show going forward, for at least for the next few weeks, I think is solid.
Yeah.
But before I blow it up completely, let's catch up with Tessa Johnson. So, Tessa, tell me a little bit about. So it's been a few years. You moved to Nashville. Now,
yep.
Now here's the thing. No, but most people have a general thought as to the answer to the question, why the heck would you go to Nashville? But I'm going to let you say that on your own. What draws a Tessa Johnson to Nashville?
Well, I got accepted at a school there. I always wanted to move to Nashville because it just, like it felt right there. I don't know how else to explain it. But every time I went, I was like, oh, my gosh, I want to end up here someday. But I didn't know how because it's just kind of the musician's dream to be there. So then I got an opportunity to go to this worship school there, and literally every door was open for me. I got so many scholarships and things that I didn't deserve, and I just thought, well, now's my time, and I just got up and left, and I don't see myself leaving anytime soon. So
what do you dig about it? Like just the culture,
oh my gosh,
the scene? Like
I mean, everything's so great. Well, not everything, but lots of things are great.
There's a lot of cats there.
There are a lot of cats, but there. It's just the thing that's intimidating about Nashville is that I feel like anywhere you go, you have to look good because people just look great everywhere.
I know.
And like, I walk into certain coffee shops and I feel like I don't belong because it's like hipsters galore. Like people, yeah. Like even then they're just so serious when they're getting you your coffee. Like they're all just kind of depressed and like, here's your coffee. And I think like, man, I feel like I'm too happy to be here. Because I walk in and I'm like, hey, how are ya?
Yeah, 850 usually brightens up the day a little faster than that.
For sure, I know. But people, man, they just have this like aesthetic about
them. Is it because there's heavy stuff in Nashville? Like There's big opportunity and big deals, and people are just like walking on eggshells a lot of the time.
I think that people just want to feel cool. I think everyone has this like common vibe about them. But if that's the case, I don't foresee myself fitting in that area.
You might just have to take over a block or so.
I might, yeah. I might have to open my own coffee shop where everyone's required to be just happy and kind of dorky all the time.
There'd be like three dudes in there.
Yeah,
everyone
true.
Else is walking by going,
the no,
I don't think so. Yeah.
This is the real Mimi.
Yeah, this is a real Mimi. But no, there are a lot of great things. I mean, it's such a great place for musicians because I feel like it's so easy to collaborate with people and nobody feels like nobody's too high on their high horse to help you out and to work with you. It's not dog eat dog at all. It's like a musician's family. So
sure.
It's great. It really feels like so much of a community, which
so
I love.
So if you were going to compare, like, especially with the type of music that you play,
mm-hmm.
Is it easier to find places to play in Nashville than it is, say, around the Midwest?
No, it's really not. Because I feel like the people they're looking to perform are the people who are established and who are going to get revenue, you know? And I think that it's a lot easier here to book a gig because the market's so small. But mm-hmm. then you get to Nashville and it's like, if you want to play, then you have to expect an unpaid gig or like an open mic night or things like that because unless you are signed by a record label or really have a following, like they're going to want you to guarantee like bringing people in.
Right.
So that's the one thing that's harder, but I feel like it's also kind of exciting because you meet people and then literally like 2 weeks later they get like, I met this girl and I think a week after I met her, Taylor Swift tweeted one of her videos and it got millions and millions of views. And I thought like, man, it's just crazy. It's a crazy town.
That's all it takes. Huh.
That's all it Taylor takes Swift. Is one person to notice you. It really is. It's the craziest thing. It doesn't matter. Like, you don't have to be the most talented person. If you get the right person to hear you, that's it. And your career's just off. So it's really cool. It's a cool place to be.
Yeah. So what's your kind of goal coming out of school? Like, what are you plotting for your life?
Well, that's a scary question because,
holy
I mean,
cow,
who knows?
Ben, why you gotta bring me the anvil?
What are you plotting for your life?
Yeah, I don't know, I guess.
You put me on the spot. No, I mean, ideally, of course, I would love to go on tour and to just do music full time. But to be realistic about it, I know I'm gonna probably have to work full time for a while until, again, like the right ears hear me and I get to start making those opportunities. So it's like, I think just, it's taking it in steps and seeing like who's gonna hear me and where can I go and you know it really like it feels like a small town because everybody knows everybody and you know I'm meeting people who you know a lot more than I do so it's cool. I mean, who knows? Maybe in the next few months I'll meet someone. It can go fast.
I feel like I would cheese this whole thing, right? Like I would walk down the street singing louder than I should, making eye contact with people. You know, like somewhere over the rainbow, just looking at guys but like, do you know stuff? Do you know somebody? Hey, I'm singing over the rainbow. That's great.
Do you know Taylor Swift? Can she tweet this?
It's funny though, because sometimes you meet people who like find out that you're a songwriter or something, and then they'll like try to like sneak their music in while they're talking. You'll be like, oh, did you hear that? And it's like, I guess not. Like they'll turn the radio down a little bit and sing a little louder and be like really jam into Taylor Swift, and you think like, come on, like. Okay.
Yeah.
If
Mike does the same thing.
Yeah. Did you hear that? You mean that time when it got awkward just a second ago? When you did that one thing? Yeah, I was there.
Wait, at a low moment, have you ever done that?
No, not yet. I don't
no,
ever want to be that
I have one
low.
In me that I'm going to save for the right time.
And I've heard that people do that to like celebrities too when they meet them. They like try to be like, yeah, so like, oh. So anyway, I sing a little. I don't know. I mean, it's fine, but oh.
I'm embarrassed from states away. I mean, holy
cow. But people will do that. They have no shame. And I just think, like, man, I got to just keep a little bit of that pride. Yeah, I can't do that.
I got to have a little something to it. Oh,
yeah, I'll know when I get to that point. Like, okay, maybe it's time to rethink things.
It's like doing a bad John Wayne impression in front of somebody or something. You know, yeah. Like, it's just totally off the wall.
You know, right. It probably comes up in the next semester you're taking a class. They're going to say, mm-hmm. Now, anytime you have an opportunity, just work it in.
Yeah, well, you know, they're all about self-promotion, so... But I can't. I don't think I can do that.
Yeah, I was discovered ordering a frappuccino from a hipster.
Yeah,
I sang the order.
I sang my order instead. So.
Blake Shelton was behind me. Just took me away.
Oh, that's too funny.
What's your name, darling? Oh no, this is the time.
This is my moment. I'm Tessa.
And it turns out you're a 25-year-old Chinese man named Blake Shelton. Whoops.
Right. Oh, that's funny.
Actually, that does sound like a fun way to spend your time in Nashville coffee shops. It's like putting it under a celebrity's name so that everyone, because it's quasi legit that somebody might actually be there, right?
Yeah, that's
true. I walked by Gavin DeGraw in a coffee shop recently, and I almost like passed out. I was like,
it was legit him?
Yeah, legit. I felt like I had that feeling like eyes were on the back of my head, so I turned around and I'm looking right in the eyes of Gavin DeGraw.
Yeah.
And I'm never starstruck, but that one got me. I mean, I've been
you weren't
jamming
blocking the sugar or something, right?
Oh, who knows what was going on? My friend was like, "Are you okay?" I was like, No. Gavin DeGraw's in here.
Nope.
I'm sure I looked like an idiot, but what can you do?
Can't do anything.
He's one of my musical idols. I didn't know how to handle it.
Act like my name is Chariot. Call me Chariot.
Yeah. Well, and he was having lunch, so I didn't want to go up to him and be like, "Hey, excuse me, I know you're doing stuff, but I'm a big fan." Because that's so annoying.
Well,
how do you actually do that?
This is Ben and I both talked about this. Is how we, for some reason, we always feel like if we could just talk to this one celebrity, we could really talk about Jesus, you know. And so I practice the conversation in the car while I'm driving around, you know.
Yeah, like John Mayer, check this out.
Yeah, here's the blah blah blah. Brad Pitt, listen to me. Here's the deal, you know. But I always think, how would you ever talk to somebody like that and not just seem like the throes of other people that do the exact same thing?
Well, don't say their full name first off.
Hey, Brad Pitt.
Hello, Mr. Brad Pitt, how are you today?
My daughter's jazz band instructor looks just like Brad Pitt. I mean, he honestly, that's all you can think about when
you're distracting.
Yeah.
I couldn't play jazz music with him.
To Disney World, and everywhere he went, everybody was stopping him, all these strangers trying to get autographs, and I thought, he's just this dude, right? I
mean, yeah.
He doesn't even, you know, he doesn't have the millions of dollars to go, okay, he's like, just leave me alone. I'm just a band inspector from Johnston.
Yeah.
That's right.
There's like an unspoken rule in Nashville that you don't go up to them. So like the celebrities will walk down the street in peace in Nashville, which is kind of crazy. But then you think like well, should I go up to them?
Right.
What do you
here,
say? Like, yeah, no, hey, I'm a big fan.
Yeah.
I don't know.
That sounds like a lonely life. If I like walking up to somebody, be like, hey, friend, how are you? My name's.
I mean, I feel like I would love it if someone was like, hey, I love your music. I'd be like, thank you. I'd probably cry or something and like freak them out. But
the picture I see in my head is them walking in the middle of the streets and the people just ignoring them.
People just like honking at them, like, get out of the street.
Yeah. Tom Hanks, you got. Get on a sidewalk,
no,
bro.
I'm Tom Hanks.
Oh,
no.
We don't like Tom. No.
Oh, we don't like Tom Hanks.
No.
Hey, he doesn't live in Nashville.
I don't know.
No,
I was just using him as an example. And I do
Taylor
like Tom
Swift,
Hanks.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Oh.
She lives there.
Yeah.
I'll call her the publicist.
I heard Gavin DeGraw's there.
Yeah. No, I can verify that.
Okay, here's the thing. I just got to be bad. I'm going to just give me a couple of seconds here.
Okay.
Like, I really liked that Need to Breathe song, Brother. And I didn't think Gavin added. I thought he took away. I didn't think it was better for having him part of it.
I do like the live version better. Mm-hmm. I like the one from the In the Woods album.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah. But I don't know. I thought it was all right.
I think it sounded good. I think, you know, Need to Breathe, they're just amazing as they are. So it's like, I mean, what can you really add?
I see what's going to happen here. I say something slightly critical of Gavin DeGraw, and no one else is going to join me here. And so I'm going to need you to write his books.
I understand what you're saying, though.
Okay, good.
Makes sense, yeah.
Okay, we're on the same page. Okay.
I don't know if I know the song, so I'm going to listen to it, and then I'll get back to you on it.
Oh, it's great. You got to listen to it. You're missing out.
Yeah.
Okay. That didn't stop you from getting in the conversation.
Well, I'm saying...
Hey, stop. I have nothing to add. Thank you.
I was trying to back you up and let you know that at a later date, I will give you a heads up on if I agree with you or not. This is true. Mike Foos.
No, it's great. All right, so I'm interested a little bit more on kind of the, I don't know, the music culture, especially when it comes to Christian music and stuff in Nashville. But let's hear a little bit from you. So tell me a little bit about the song Out of Breath.
So I wrote that about I was having just a day where I think I describe it as like a quarter life crisis, where I was like, I'm doing nothing with my life. I'm no closer to my dream. I'm working this job that I hate. You know, I think everything that 20 somethings go through. And I was just feeling like, just it added to the depression I already had. And I wanted to write a song that just genuinely communicated how depression looks and feels. And I didn't, you know, I didn't feel like I knew anything at the time that adequately described how I was feeling. And so I was like, well, I'm just going to write something myself. And it kind of played off of the charismatic churches that I had been in would say things like, you know, if you're really surrendered to Jesus Christ, then you won't have that depression or that anxiety. He'll just take it away from you. And I felt like there was something wrong with me for that. And like that I was less than because I couldn't, you know, I couldn't get rid of this anxiety and this depression. And then I finally came to the realization through, you know, prayer and reading my Bible and seeking out advice that you know, God allows suffering in your life sometimes to help you grow and to help you minister to other people. Because had I not gone through that, I wouldn't have gotten a song. And had I not gone through that anxiety, I wouldn't have gotten music out of that. And I think that the suffering in my life and the anxiety and the depression has all been so important to my journey. And so I just wanted to write about it and write about how scared I am of just getting older and all of those things. So that's what that's about.
Okay, sweet. Well, let's hear this. This is Tessa Johnson. You're listening to Live from the Path, and this is Out of Breath.
Can't find anything to take to dull the ever-present ache that says that I'm not adequate and makes me think it's true. I can't find any peace of mind to pick me up and leave behind the shadow that is subsequent to everything I do. Every day I'm getting older and I'm halfway scared.
That's a beautiful song.
Wow. Thank you.
I love it.
Thank you so much.
Here's what I will pay for in Christian music is honesty.
Yeah.
I would pay for that. It was excellent.
Thank you.
Really, really good.
Thank you so much. That means a lot.
And we were talking about that a little bit in our interview. We interviewed John Schlitt from Petra and the Union of Sinners and Saints last week. We were talking about kind of that quote from Bono where he said, there's not enough honesty in Christian music. And one of the things that John had said was, that seems true, although, like, if you look what's on kind of Christian radio, it's kind of compressed. Like, there's only certain types of music that actually make it on radio. Do you feel, is that your experience?
Oh, yeah. I mean, listening to Christian radio actually makes me frustrated. And, like, I think, like, we're serving such a creative God, and yet this music is all the same, and the same four chords, the same lyrical content. And it's great to be like, oh, God is so good, and I love that that's in music. But also, like, what if there are Christians out there sitting thinking, like, I am so depressed, and I don't know if that's on me, and I don't know, like, am I not close enough with God to feel joy in my life? And people need to know that other Christians are right there, you know? Because I've had days where I think, like, oh, it's my fault, and, you know, I'm not doing the right thing. But the fact is, like, God allows that in our lives sometimes, and I feel like God speaks so poignantly to me in my lowest times, and I feel like if people just could know that other people are suffering with them and other people have been there and been through it, then wouldn't that create even more hope in people's lives than just, you know, the cookie-cutter Christian song?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, and here's the deal. Is like, I think when you start attaching words like depression or anxiety or something that we've named, you'll get people automatically that will kick back immediately and say things just like that. Like, the joy in Christ does not allow that.
Right.
Well, you know, first of all, the fallen world allows that.
Exactly.
And God allows the fallen world. So there's a start. And two, like, I mean, it's a lot of the things that they would ignore about a lot of the character examples in the Bible, and David would have been one of them. Have you read most of the songs?
He's in constant torment.
I can't even feel as tortured as that man had.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And, like, you can see his victories and you can see his failures, but, like, he was tortured on the things that he didn't seem to be able to pull off, or that his heart was betraying him, and stuff that he knew to be true about God, but for some reason wasn't coming to fruition within his own life. And so like, it does take a judgmental seat to say those kind of things. And, like, I'm not going to lie and say that I don't do that on occasion, right? Like, people will say that they suffer with these kind of things, and I'm like, man, I feel like God's got a fix for that. And, like, Jesus is the fix. Like the exactly what that looks like in your life is the way that you follow him and the way that he deals with you. And some of those things are your choice and some of them aren't.
Yeah.
And so like, I think some of that's kind of hard to get past. And you're right, there's not a whole lot of touch and base on that with the six courses of holy, holy, holy.
Exactly.
Well, the whole Christian community, we feel like we can't talk about it.
Yeah, which is so frustrating.
Oh, yeah. I talk to people regularly who like, in shame, tell me, well, you know, I'm on anxiety medicine, you know.
Yeah.
I'm like, that's okay. Yeah. You know, but I mean, and they're like, it's like this big, I'm really confessing something too big here, you know. And it is big to them because they have this culture when the doctor suggests that, they're like, oh, I won't do anything but that, you know. And then they finally give in and do it. And I talk, there are lots of people in the church are on things because they're dealing with life.
Yeah.
And they're trying to figure it out, and you can't fake it through life. You've got to be who you are.
And, of course, God can rescue you from that.
Sure,
and God
sure.
will. And I may suffer with anxiety for the rest of my life, but I also believe that God can take that from me at the right time. But the fact of the matter is, if I hadn't had those feelings within myself, some of the music I write would not be there. Mm-hmm. And I feel like I experience God in the most amazing ways when I'm on my knees and on my face on the ground, like, God, I just need you to show up. And then he does in the most miraculous way. And I think that it's so important for Christians to just allow themselves to feel that stuff and think, like, just ask God for help in those moments. And the nice thing is like, knowing Jesus helps me with that because I can call on him in those moments. And I know that there's hope in that. But that doesn't mean that I'm never going to be depressed again. That doesn't mean I'm never going to be anxious again. So I guess, like, I think it's so important to share things like that. And I wish that in the Christian, I mean, I've performed in competitions and things, and Christian CCLI people will tell me, like, we don't get your music. It doesn't, you know, this would not sell. And I think, like, but why isn't there a market for that? That's so frustrating because people need to know this stuff.
Yeah,
I think it's important.
So you should use the phrase, like, why are you a liar?
Right. Like, I'm sorry, but there are some days when I'm like, you know, I'm like, I don't want to be singing happy songs today. I want to cry and feel sad, and that's okay. So,
well, you know, the deal is they've chased people away. They it won't sell because they haven't allowed it to.
Well, and
I mean,
it's like,
so you're not going to go there looking for it.
It's not even quality. That's the frustrating part. Yeah. It's like I listen to, as a Christian, I will listen to non-Christian music because it's so good and because the things that people are producing are so like cool and unique but I don't know any non-Christians who would just want to turn on Christian radio because it's great music. Like, they
now,
don't have to
agree. It takes them about 10
it.
Minutes to get pretty much the gist of the next hour.
Oh my gosh, yeah. And
that's terrible.
And of course, some of those songs are needed and some of them are so important. And I think that the people who are making that music, like, that's awesome and they should be making that music. But there needs to be more stuff added in and there needs to be more, more diversity in what we talk about. I think that too many things are taboo and, like, that can't be spoken.
Well, that shouldn't even become close to taboo. You know what I'm saying? And, like, it seems almost that this is terrible. But do you feel like the Lord's ever disappointed? Like, hey, man, I produced all the lyrical content you're using.
Right.
All you have to do is come up with a tune. And you still have the exact same, you know, whiny, chorused out flanged guitar playing one note through the whole tune. And then you said holy five times. It's like, guys, like, I already wrote that.
Actually, the downfall of music, and this happened in secular music for a while, and then they kind of got rid of it. But Christian music, like, really latched onto it. It's the noise guy. It's the guy with the guitar whose job is to go, like, create the haunted house noise.
Yeah.
But like, in a positive mode.
Yes. Oh, my gosh.
Like a Mixolydian haunted house.
That's right.
It's this guy's job.
And I'm Kurt at the positive haunted house.
he's got 20 pedals and a sweet rig, and, like, nobody knows his last name. And
he knows one note.
Oh, my gosh.
He's been making a living in Nashville for the last 30 years.
And here's the, don't hear me wrong, gear guys impress me. I stink at knowing gear. I've been playing bass for 20 years, and, like, I don't know how to work much of stuff. Like, turn things on, thump bass with thumb, turn stuff off, walk away. That's what I know. There's some really impressive gear folks. It's just like we kind of sold that. Is that that's just the vibe? It's like a pounding beat, and then the noise, and then Greg the noise man, and like every song's kind of got that pitch to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, if I hear another Chris Tomlin song, we don't need any more of those. I'm sorry, Chris Tomlin's doing a great job for himself, but I don't need another Chris Tomlin. I needed something else.
Here's the thing: is you wouldn't be using Chris Tomlin as a description of things if there hadn't been 1,700 other people took Chris Tomlin's gig and then reproduced it.
Right,
you'd
his,
be like,
his
did
stuff
Chris
could have
Tomlin?
Been unique, you know?
Yeah,
his stuff could have been completely unique, and it probably was at one point.
Yeah.
But now it's just so overdone. I'm so sick of it, and I can't listen to Christian radio without getting upset. I heard a song the other day on Christian radio. I don't even remember what it was, but I remember thinking, I probably could have written this when I was 12. This is not good. And yet it's on Christian radio because it has a catchy melody and really simple lyrics. And
That's true.
Why aren't we challenging people?
Why can't we get someone to write something out of the Deuteronomy?
Exactly.
And here's the thing. That's one of the things that was interesting. What John said is that he said there is a bit of a chasm between a lot of times what the artists want to produce and ultimately what is produced, right? So even as you listen to this, it's like, why are these guys writing this stuff this way? Well, at least from his perspective, and it sounds like perhaps you'd agree, Tessa, too, is that, like, just because you're hearing it doesn't mean that, like, that's what they wanted or, like, that was kind of their choice to come into that.
Yeah.
And you do get that in the secular there, too. Wasn't that whole Prince's whole thing why he changed? I don't know enough about Prince, but, like, even to the artist formerly known as Prince, like he was, they were trying to control his music, you know, and he's like, I'm Prince, I won't do that, you know. But
he was also ape crazy.
But
Just across the board nutty.
But I'm just saying, my point is, it's on every
it is
level,
because
I mean,
people will write what sells, and unfortunately, like, party anthems and just pop things like that will sell. But I think in the secular music industry, what they're doing right is they're allowing a little bit more. Like, they're allowing these unique artists to come on board. Like, and you know, some of it is just pop garbage, but I think some stuff that they're putting on the radio right now is really cool and should be there. I think artists like Ed Sheeran and people like that who have real artistic integrity are doing great things, and I wish there were more people like that on Christian radio.
All right, see, and I think some of the, like, a lot of the internet streaming services are helping to bolster that, too.
Yeah.
I got totally caught up on the Amazon Modern Folk station. Mm-hmm. I can't get off of it. You know what I'm saying? These dudes are writing. I mean, here's the thing. They're songwriters, right?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
There's nothing that blows me away, not the people that play music that they wrote. Like, I absolutely love that. And I'm not a big folk guy, right? But like I get on this modern folk station, and I literally, it's been on for 3 weeks now. I cannot turn it off because I know they wrote the song. Right, just by the way that they sing it, I know they wrote it. And like, there's something about that
it's
says
so personal.
You created something and you gave it to me. Mm-hmm. You didn't create it and give it to someone else to give it to me. You created it and you gave it to me. And there's right. something about that just inherently has it's worth my time to either suffer through it if I hated it or sit there and listen to it over and over again because I loved it. But the fact that you made mm-hmm. it and you gave it to me, it makes me pay attention more.
Right.
And I wonder if, like, that's probably where your best opportunity is kind of, like, you can say people can discover music on the net, but, I mean, that's like swimming in the fountain, right? Like,
oh, yeah.
I mean, you just, like, there's no way, that's a terrible example, because fountains
yeah.
are small.
Yeah.
What was in my head was coins in a fountain.
Yeah, that's not what you
but
said.
But then what I said was swimming in a fountain, and, like, that's a small bucket.
It went completely off
more
the
like swimming in the ocean, I yeah. think.
Now I
can't think of, like, an ocean.
Anyway, actually discovering things is difficult on your own. So, like, this kind of this managed eclectic thing where, like these niche stations, although you can actually kind of get a little bit pigeonholed in it, it, like, algorithms don't care. Like, they're far less concerned about what's playing on K-Love, right? Like, mm-hmm. it's grabbing from its stack and saying, how are people reacting to this? How do we get this stuff in front of other folk? And so, like, you're actually likely to come across really good music. In fact, we've had a number of folks, 25 bands here that no one, like, broad stream no one's heard of and should. Because they're very good.
Yeah.
But there's the market for them is kind of, again, managed eclectic. Like, it's showing up on Spotify playlists, on Amazon stuff. Not because people are going to Amazon and saying, I want to listen to this person, but because they're saying, I feel this way, or I'm mooding in this direction. What do you have for me? And then that stuff can kind of, like, plug in.
I'm mooding.
Which means this is probably the best possible environment for those types of things, mm-hmm. and frankly, maybe it's just the wrong thought to even expect that from radio has to be. We were on 99.3 for a while, and like even kind of thinking about how Christian talk radio has to work, nobody has conversations for an hour. Like, we'll talk about something for an hour, and people don't do that. You have 10-15 minutes. People have drive times and short attention spans, and like, in fact, I don't know if I could told you guys this. So I was talking to the station manager, and this was just before we stopped being on the radio there. And we were talking about the refugee crisis, about whether you take in Syrian refugees or not. And they had talked about it on one of the shows there. And I said, look, you're not having a full conversation. You're having a 10-minute soundbite conversation, and people are saying what they want to say, and they're getting it out. And whether the things are true or irrelevant, you're not having what you need to talk about to actually soak it in kingdom perspective. Is we need to talk about this for an hour, and we need to be honest about the things we're talking about. But you're trying to tuck this conversation into 15 minutes, and so you're just not having full conversations, and that doesn't interest me. Because, like, I can easily look up someone's bookmark. I can find your sound bites. I can find your talking points. It's in, like, I understand them. They're probably true, but they meet the gray line of somebody else somewhere, and you're not talking about that. And so I said, that's one of the things that our show is able to do is just because, like, we don't take breaks. We just talk. We're talking for, like, an hour and a half. And so I was kind of singing the virtues of why this was a good idea. And like, the end of that conversation was like, yeah, so
we're going to need you to not be on this radio station,
anymore. And I thought, well,
wrong time.
That's what makes our show unique. Yeah. Uniquely not on the air anymore. but that was the truth. Is like, I'm far more interested in a half an hour, 45 minutes, hours conversation where we actually can kind of dive into the gray a little bit, as opposed to like this is what we have to do to survive. And so there's truth in that in drive time radio. There's truth in that on a K-Love. There's truth in that on like what those folks can actually do because they're having to make money. If that's the right. That is their right motivation to stay on the air to do some good. But from a purist perspective, if we can be optimistic here, it is that that doesn't necessarily have to drive what we do in Christian art.
Right.
But that means you do have to be a bit creative on where that gets exposure.
Right.
Because if there's not money behind it, there's certain people that aren't impressed.
Yeah.
And that stinks to a certain extent, but there's some truth to it. And there's realities to why money does those things. Something has to pay for the transmitter and then the power and the guy that runs the ops.
Yeah.
So there's realities in those things. And maybe there's probably a point where, like, is it unfair to expect certain things out of a commercial radio by the term commercial radio is inherently cost money.
Yeah.
and has to seek money out.
Some of that is because it's like we drew the line at worship music. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like we said, we want vertical music only, no horizontal music, like no people like me. You know what I'm saying? Like there's a cliche where they say, you know, I need to know how to do this, or I'm feeling this way and I don't know what to do, and everyone says turn to Jesus, and like that's the right answer, right? But like since Jesus was sinless, you know, like having the people that follow him that share that same experience with you where you've sinned and failed or you feel like junk, you know what I'm saying? Or where like life is actually having an impact on you, like the sinful world that Jesus came to redeem us from is actually impacting you in such a way that you're like, I just want to know that other people that follow this God that I follow don't think I'm crazy,
right?
Or like they have experienced any of this, you know? And so like we've drawn the line, and like, I'm with you. You want to keep horizontal stuff out of your worship set? I'm with you. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. We're talking to God on Sunday. We got stuff to do. We're worshiping and praising, right? It's not about you and me and how we stink, you know? But like, I don't see any reason you can't have horizontal tunes about a life living in pursuit of the kingdom of Christ and like having your experiences ring true to me, right? That is nothing more than what a testimony is. Yeah. When someone gives up and says, this is how Jesus wrecked my life and brought me right back into where I was. Horizontal songs are just that way. This is what my dealings with Jesus were, and this is how it turned out.
That's really all like early Christian music was, like 80s, when I say early modern.
Right.
You know, I remember like it was like
there was a revival too. Important to remember, like that's when Christian music was blowing up too.
It was like mid-90s. Suddenly there was like, whoa, someone made like songs we could actually sing in church. And then so I started buying up those CDs. That's how they started getting more and more popular. Then the new one would come out and everybody got excited. And they
this was your fault then.
Well, I bought like four.
Dan ruined Christian radio.
We found the ruin of the
problem. Like ours, like, you know, you're doing the band and everything, and which was new too, you know, in church. Mm-hmm. And so that's how, because then, I remember at one time I kind of looked around and thought, wait a minute, that's all there is now. There is no like regular tunes.
Right.
You know, they're out
long,
there.
But, I mean, basically we're saying, look, there's room for it to come back.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I think that Jesus never really played it safe. And if we're really going to be trying to act like Jesus did, then why are we playing it safe in Christian radio? I think that there are things that need to be heard. And, you know, Jesus walked into places and flipped tables and told people like, hey, why are you spreading all of these lies and things like that? And I think it's a lie to believe that you're just going to be joyful all the time when you're following Jesus, because that's not the case. And so, I don't know, I think it's important to just have more people who are just completely honest when they're having struggles in their life.
Sure, I agree.
Is it wrong to make a shirt that says, Chris Tomlin, we're coming for your tables?
No.
I feel like it might be misinterpreted.
Yeah, it might be, yeah.
I do it with a bumper sticker.
Right, it sounds like I could just be a vindictive rental company.
We're coming for your tables.
You've had these too long.
We want them back.
We have a wedding next Sunday.
Hey, you've been listening live from the path. We've been hanging out with Tessa Johnson. So, Tessa, if someone wants to check out your music, where might they go?
You can go to facebook.com/TessaJohnsonMusic. And I'm in the process of recording new songs now that will be on iTunes shortly. So just go to that Facebook for updates. Or you can follow me on Twitter at I Am Tessa J. Instagram, I Am Tessa J.
Hey, man, you snagged I Am Tessa J?
I did,
that's
yeah.
awesome.
I
bet there's another Tessa J that's just upstream.
It's real burned on it.
But I'm Tessa J.
But I'm Tessa J. Yeah. Everyone's always called me that.
That's
sorry,
awesome.
I got it. I've had
that's
it. Yep.
Awesome.
So.
Okay. Hey, shoot. Now I feel like, do we have time to take a break so I can go snag I Am Ben F? Because I didn't even think of that.
Yeah, we already talked about this. Because of your pride issues in the past, I've bought every website that you could possibly ever.
Oh, yeah, that's
the screwest part of your day.
Hey, did I tell you about, so I did a weird conglomeration of events. I was a judge at a poetry contest for that was put on by like a youth NAACP event.
Sure.
You're absolutely the guy I would have chosen for that.
That's what I'm saying, right? Weird conglomeration of events. Very cool. Like some very cool poetry coming out of this.
Like recently?
Yeah, like 3 or 4 months ago.
Huh.
So here's what I think. I think one of the judges couldn't make it. And so in a pinch, they asked me, and I came and did it, and I was very grateful, because like I'm a bit separated from that. I'm a bit separated from kind of raw raw art. The art that I get is polished, right? Like someone has issued it, someone's ran it through somebody. But you know, junior year poetry like comes at you raw and fierce. And so anyway, there's some excellent entries here. But like one of the girls signed her entry thing like. Her signature, you know, people would say, sincerely or with love or whatever. And her signatory thing was at best, comma, her name. And I thought, like, at best, Ben Foost. And I thought, boy, that is, I feel terrible stealing that, but that just seems like an awesome way to sign off on something.
Sounds cool.
Yeah, like when I'm at my best, I'm Ben Foost.
Yeah.
Don't meet me on my off day. I'm Boob.
Hey, I would agree with that last statement. First off, second off, Ben, I care about you as a friend, and I'm going to say that is way too edgy for you. You are not cool enough to be at best Ben Foos.
See, that's what I thought, because this girl was really cool.
Yeah, you are. I'm sorry, man. Like, I call it as it is. You're not that cool.
No, that's good. That's why
you're cooler than I am, and that's why I will never use that. Also,
that's what I need: horizontal songs about this.
Yeah,
something to keep me in line. This says you ain't cool enough to do that.
I'm going to sign myself at best Ben Foos. That'll be fine.
Actually, Mike, 2 weeks, you're going to be out of town, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so that means you have a little bit of free time at night. I need you to write a song for Christians called You're Not Cool Enough to Do That. That's the chorus.
I'll have this done in a half hour.
Okay. I've got all kinds of ideas.
You only need 3 chords.
Booba, can I borrow your diary?
Of course. Always.
At best, Booba.
At best, John Booba III.
Do you guys have any footprints bookmarked with?
It's my favorite one.
I was going to make a shirt that said, Chris Tomlin, we're coming for your tables. You're not cool enough to do that. all right, anyway, so go to Facebook and Twitter. Did you say Instagram?
Heck yeah.
No, wait, so do you have a chosen platform that then passes to everything else, or do you hit each one individually?
I hit each one individually, pretty much. You know, I'm a big fan of Snapchat, though. I get real into Snapchat. I didn't think I would be one of those people, but unfortunately,
like
I am.
You like play with the face thing, don't you?
Yes. Yeah, oh, my gosh. But I won't do the dog filter, because everyone does that, and I think, like I'm not going to conform.
Yeah, this
I'm not going to be a part of the
this
masses.
This is the Christian radio filter is what it is.
Yeah.
Dog face.
3 of the 5 people in this room are not cool enough for Snapchat. Just heads up. You guys figure out which ones.
I feel like I'm one of them.
At best, Ben Foos.
Want to trade faces?
It's called face swap, Dan.
You.
Did you say trade faces? Yes, I have a Snapchat. I'm a 24-year-old dude. Of course I have a Snapchat. It's called face swap, not do you want to trade faces.
I
think
like
one of
better.
Us has just outed themselves as not cool
I'm
enough
just
for
not
Snapchat.
Cool enough for it, but I do it anyway.
Hey, do you want to do that thing where I get your face and you get mine? At best, Dan Hudson. Dan, do you have an Instagram?
You know, that's the one thing I don't have.
Okay.
You gotta get Instagram.
I would love to see Dan Hudson's Instagram. I would follow you in a second just to see what it ends
me
up on
too.
There.
Me too.
Pictures of that red Solo cup and then your yard work.
Yeah. Hashtag Bacon good. Monday. Hashtag Bacon Tuesday. Hashtag Bacon Wednesday.
Hashtag you were thinking Bacon Thursday, but I took the day off.
For Friday.
Hashtag do you want to trade faces?
Which is a terrifying hashtag.
That's awful.
Also, you need to add that.
Yes, I do.
Really? A face-off reference.
That's at best.
I think we're writing this song for Mike right now.
You're welcome, Mike. Were you hesitant to jump on Snapchat?
Yeah, I was, because I feel like, I don't know, everyone was on Snapchat, and it seemed like to be this thing, but now I'm like kind of addicted to it. But I literally will just tell the dumbest stories on Snapchat. I act like an idiot. I sometimes I look terrible. I will just say, you know, anything to make me laugh, really. I'm just making myself laugh, and like, hey, if people think it's funny, that's great.
I like your thought process. You know what? Wham. That's great.
Oh, I'm hilarious. I'm convinced that I'm my own biggest fan when it comes to my comedy. I think I'm so funny. So it's all that counts, though, right?
I haven't got past Facebook because every new one they come out with, I just assume there's dirties on it.
Oh, there's like, so many.
I can't get involved with it. You know, they're like Instagram. I'm like, that's got to be the dirty one. It's always got to be.
I don't know.
I usually like sign up for them right away, but I never go back.
I'm always afraid that like I got excited about it and I downloaded it, and then someone will be on my phone. They're like, Instagram, that's where the dirties are. And I'm like,
I didn't know.
I just did it because other people was doing it.
You can do Instagram, but just don't do anything. Yeah. Don't search the popular stuff.
Because that's where the dirties are. It can be dirty, you know? Yeah. Any social media platform can be dirty.
Just add Dan, and that's your one person you're following.
Yeah, there you go.
And then I am Tessa J. There's the two people you can follow on Instagram.
Yeah, that's right.
Instagram's the best.
We had a guy that followed us on Twitter. And, like, I like to, when someone follows us, like, I think they're trying to fish for us to follow them back, but I don't do that stuff.
Oh, I don't either.
I go check them out and see, like, if they're legit, yeah. And then I'll creep on them.
I always know if they're following, like, thousands of people. Yeah. I'm like, you're just trying to get a follow. I'm not doing it.
Yeah. You're pathetic,
not this
sir.
Time. Not this time, sir. You're not falling for it.
So there was a guy who I think interacted with us on YouTube, like, had commented on some of the show, and, it was from like a foreign guy, I think it's from India or something. And so right. he follows on Twitter. And so I went to go check it out. I thought, oh, cool. Like what else is he kind of interested in perusing Live from the Path Radio on YouTube? And this guy had to have followed 50. I assume they're very sketchy neighbors or
ooh.
Porn ladies.
sketchy neighbors.
Where do you live, sir?
If that's not a Twitter account, sketchy neighbors, it needs to be.
And so, it was right. It's the only other thing he's doing. And then listening to Live from the Path, and I thought, good, but how do I make this go away? Like, I don't know how, if this is going to show up in my I have accountability software. Like, can they read the page? And so, like, I instantly, like, I don't know what to do about this guy. And I thought, well, I that's good that he's following the show, but I can't follow this man back. I don't need to know what he's up to.
Exactly.
Yeah.
This is just going to be one of those things where we just kind of, we go out and not take in.
Yeah.
I figured out that there's this place on Facebook where you can go and it's like unapproved messages that you have. Oh my gosh, that was one of the biggest mistakes I ever made.
Cool.
I have some of those guys that get on there. There's like people from like Africa and stuff that will message me like, "Hi princess, how are you today?" And I'm like, "Princess, I don't know you."
Well,
or it'll be
kind,
like
sir.
Really, really bad English. And I just think like, what are you doing?
You must have found me on Instagram. That explains that.
Yeah, just things like, how are good today? And I think, I don't know how to respond to that.
I agree.
Yes.
Me too? I don't know. Yeah, that's not the good stuff there.
But I tell you what, speaking of the creepster, here we go.
Okay.
Dear Life from the Path, during a recent family dinner, my uncle presented an odd gift to everyone there. But keep it tucked in, Booba. He's in his mid-50s and involved in the community and government of a small town. He and other public figures, quotes, most of them.
So far you're describing me.
So far.
Let's see how far this goes.
Chamber of Commerce Board, mid-50s.
He and other, quote, public figures, most of them older, decided to publish a calendar. On each page, there's a nude photo of an aging community luminary posing with strategically placed objects covering his or her, quote, goods.
Well, now this is decidedly different than what I thought you'd introduce, but continue.
To say the least, the photos are not flattering, funny, or particularly modest.
Oh, no.
Not only did my uncle give one to every family member, including my 80-year-old grandparents, but he took pains to point out his photo. The awkward silence that followed ruined an otherwise nice family dinner. Did this gift cross the line? Is there a rule of etiquette regarding risque pictures of oneself? How do I make sure I never have to see any other family members in their birthday suits without my consent?
Let me ask.
Hello, people.
Is it? So there's people have done calendars like this, like firemen and like people trying to raise money for communities. Okay,
Chamber of Commerce members.
Yeah. Chamber of Commerce.
Oldie McOldsters.
Yeah.
But it's people you want to see, you know? Like, maybe you shouldn't, but it's people that the masses would like to see. That's the difference here. And I feel like this is just the creepy uncle. Everyone has that creepy uncle, and this is just this guy who's like, hey, guys, I got your present.
He gave it to his family.
Well, oh, my gosh.
That's the creepiest thing to do
this
ever.
Is the thing I don't understand, though. Like, the grandparents, that would be his mom and dad.
Oh, no.
And so, like, what are they
You care? Made this...
They're like, okay, John, we've seen this before.
Oh,
this
man.
Is not impressive.
We've seen it when it was better.
Oh,
no.
And we're
wait
80.
A minute. This is going to sound like I'm defending it.
Please don't, man.
I've got to word this carefully.
Yes, you do.
I believe the author of this note has been playing back and forth on the words. It's not in their birthday suit. It's mostly their birthday. I mean, it's almost like a...
They're nude. They just have something in front of it.
Well, clothes are that.
Who's a comedian in every movie? He's always running in his underwear. I can't think of his name all of a sudden.
I don't get those channels.
Guy Elf.
I don't get those channels.
Will Ferrell.
Will Ferrell, yeah.
I mean, there's nothing attractive about that. I mean, it was kind of like, ha, ha, ha. I'm assuming that's what they were trying to do.
Well, yeah, probably.
They weren't. I mean, I wouldn't do it personally, and I wouldn't want it personally.
No, to Ben's point, clothes are specifically designed to protect your naughty bits, and this calendar is basically doing the same thing.
Yeah.
Except with plants and lampposts, I guess.
I mean, they're trying to be funny. You know, yeah. I mean, it's
becomes bad when you give it to your family.
Yeah, that's the creepy part.
That's the thing. It's like, keep it to yourself. Like,
I mean, when you're old,
sell it, raise money. That's
I hope
great,
I'm this way when I'm old. I'm like, I don't care.
Do not give me that calendar.
Here's the thing, though. This can't be a surprise. Old guys do not give a pudding pop about this kind of thing.
That's true.
They're just like, I don't care.
Maybe it's strategically choose pudding pop.
That's right. That's what
it is. Maybe he's just that kooky old guy who's like, yeah, I'm weird, whatever.
Yeah.
It's the same guy that goes and picks up the paper with nothing on and goes, I went to Nam. I'm getting a paper.
I fought for your freedom side. Look away, Myrtle.
Okay, I flipped the fence. I'm in support.
I mean, I think this is a poor taste, funny, ha-ha fundraiser.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I don't think there's anything immoral. They're not being sexual and...
True.
It's creepy funny. Yeah. It's just creepier to give to your family.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I would
like,
say...
if this would have been, like, a gag where they, like, left him out at the, I don't know, Hall of Commerce. I don't even know what the...
Oh, yeah. So for
City
the children
Hall.
To have. Absolutely.
Well, City Hall. It's like, ha-ha. And they did it as a Christmas present to each other. Whatever. Like, funny gag gifts, that's fine. But it's just creepy to give to your family.
I don't know why
and
don't love
And then he went as far as to point it out to them. By the way, pay special attention to page 12. Have you seen July yet? Because July is hot.
You're going to like it.
First of all, you don't know that he said that.
Yeah.
I feel like, yes, I'm insinuating that, but I feel like that's totally what he
is.
The kind of dude that just posed nude at 50s.
Here's the thing. If you're going to give away a calendar like that, obviously you're going to put to answer the right question, which is, why are you giving me this partially nude mail calendar? I'm on page 7.
Yeah.
It's an answer to an appropriate question, which is, why are you handing this calendar out?
Yeah.
So,
but still,
if you're going to hand it out, giving it to your family and telling that you're in it makes total sense to me.
That's creepy.
But whether you should hand it out, I think, is continually debatable.
I mean, should we vote? Because, I mean, I'm a yes.
You're a yes for the whole situation?
Yeah,
I say we make a new one.
I like all of this.
Gentlemen, no.
Do you think it gets worse? Is it worse than seeing a guy in a speedster hanging out at the pool?
No, those speedsters don't leave much to imagination.
But you expect him to be there, you know? I wouldn't expect to get, you know,
That's
a
true.
Calendar from my uncle, and I'd be like, what is this? So here's the thing. Do what you want, but don't give it to me.
Okay, maybe it's an expectation thing, right?
Yeah.
Where at the pool, I expect to see speedster.
Yeah.
The local fire hydrant, I expect to just see a fire hydrant and not a nude man crouching behind the fire hydrant.
You prepare
hydrant.
Yourself for that going to the pool.
Why
do
you have to be that descriptive?
Yeah.
Now, like, I can't, the way my mind works, I pictured a nude man, but we're going behind the fire hydrant. I
Every bit of this is wrong.
I'm in support. Let's see what the secular has to say.
Oh,
okay. Secular says, personally, I think the premise of the calendar is a hoot. Yes.
We're secular. Wait.
Wait a minute.
Good job, boys.
While your uncle may have wanted to shock the family, I'm sure he didn't intend to offend anyone. A movie was made a few years ago about a group of older women in an English village who did something similar to raise money for charity. I'm sorry your family was offended, but I'm sure they'll recover, and so will you. In the future, don't accept any gifts from this relative unless they have a warning label.
What?
Not a bad
Merry
idea.
Merry Christmas. No, thank you.
You keep that check.
In case there's another nude calendar.
George, you and I both know you burned me a couple years ago.
That's true. That's got to be once in a lifetime.
Even, I better get candles and socks next year.
Even wrapped in a box that looks similar to a calendar shape. But yeah, you know what? Nah.
If this isn't a record,
no,
I'm out.
Not
worth
it.
The risk.
No.
It's not.
No. Oh. Okay, one more. Here we go.
Yep. Dear Life from the Path, my friend, quote Sarah, invites herself and her two children over to play with mine from time to time. When it's time to have a snack or eat, she and her kids make themselves at home, especially with the milk. Life from the Path, I work 70 hours a week. My children eat cereal often and love milk, but because of my schedule, I don't get a chance to go to grocery shopping as often as I should. I am a single parent. How do I politely tell my friend that it's fine to make herself at home, but getting both of her children refills of milk without asking me is taking it too far? She knows I can afford it, but I'm uncomfortable asking because I don't know how to draw the line. Mm-hmm. You buy more milk.
Yeah.
Pick up two
cups. Be generous with your milk.
Yeah, when you go shopping, just get extra and just be like, milk is cheap. Yeah. These kids are hungry. Let's do it.
Yeah, man.
You're working too much.
Like, if they're eating the Daiwa chocolate, I'll bring that up. But if they're just drinking milk, unless they're drinking, like, the whole gallon, in which that's just rude. Your kids are rude, and I should share that with you.
Yeah, and probably not healthy.
Yeah.
See, and that actually goes to that conversation we were talking about before the show started, about people disciplining, or people speaking into the lives about how you raise your children. Like if one of my kids goes over there and puts the crazy dump on the milk at someone's house, like I would totally expect the guy that owns the milk to say, "Hey man, you're drinking too much of the milk. That's outrageous." Mm-hmm. You know, like that's not ridiculous to say, and I'd actually welcome it as a parent and say, "Hey man, they were being ridiculous, and you stated as much, so I don't see where the problem is."
Yeah, actually, one of the neighbor kids was over at the house a couple days ago, and he was making some kind of whining noise with his like something like this.
What is that?
I said, hey man, can you not use that lady's voice in here? It's driving me nuts. Like, you want to do that? You can go do it outside. And he goes, okay. And then he didn't do it the rest of the night, and I thought, perfect.
Problem
solved. My problem.
That's easy, though.
Don't use that whining lady's voice in here.
All right.
Do you find it would be that uncomfortable to say, "Hey man, your kid's bogarting the milk, man"?
No, I would look them in the face and go, "Hey man, you and I both know you don't need half a gallon. Calm it down."
Yeah, if they're your friend, I mean, just be like, "Hey, you know, I love you. I love having your kids over, but they're just eating a lot of my food. I don't have a lot of time to replenish it."
Yeah, if it's a pattern. Yeah. I mean, the first time or two, you kind of go, eh.
Yeah.
It sounds like this person comes around often enough to make mention of it first off. If it's an uninvited person that goes, "Hey, I'm going to bring my two kids over." They are very comfortable bringing their kids over to their house. You should be perfectly comfortable going, "Hey, Martha, can you please stop having your kids drink all my milk?"
Yeah.
Or, like I said, just buy more milk.
Yeah, if you don't want to bring it up.
Yeah.
There you go.
Hey, your kids dig milk. Like if I can do that, makes the kids happy. And I don't have to sweat the – actually, that we've been talking about that a ton with my oldest daughter, is the right way to solve your problem is just to dig on whatever the other side is. Like, my sister wants to have this. I said, well, you can either argue with her about it, or you can give it to her, and now you were gracious and she's happy.
Yeah.
Isn't that the win?
Right. There you go.
And so the win is buy some more milk. Mm-hmm. Done.
And frankly, like a broader point, like we are doing kids slightly a disservice by, like, running it through their moms. Why don't you just look at the kid in the face, treat him like a human being, and be like, "Hey, man, you're drinking too much milk. Either give me $5 or stop drinking so much milk." Those are the options on the table.
What do you do if the kid hands you a fiver?
I would say, "Here you go." Actually, I would probably start watering the milk down. I would keep 2 gallons of milk, but I would make it the gallon of milk in the front out of a fourth of a gallon that I had last time and fill the rest with water. And
you made this shiesty.
And then he would stop drinking my milk.
Hey, Mr. Foos, did you switch to skim or silk? No, I just thought you were drinking all my milk, so I started to water it down.
Yeah, that's what I would say. No, I put water in that milk so you would stop drinking it.
Because I'm too much of a pansy to deal with you directly.
Because I asked you nicely the first time, and you have disobeyed me again.
Yeah, you would not react that passive-aggressively. If you told the kid to stop bogarting your milk and he started drinking your milk, you can't tell me you try to sabotage him.
No, I wouldn't
talk
to him
about it.
I would. Some people might. I wouldn't do that. You're right, Ben. I apologize for trying to boister myself as passive-aggressive. I'm sure we're not. Here we go. Secular says, "I assume you can communicate with Sarah outside of her drop-in visits to your home. The next time you talk, text or email, explain that you love her company and she's always welcome, but because of your 70-hour work schedule, you don't get to the market as often as she does. So when she brings her kids, please also bring a quart of milk with her. To do that is stating the facts, it isn't rude, and it isn't asking too much. If she's your friend and not a user, she will comply."
Here's the thing. I would feel very awkward if I was at my house, and then the neighbors showed up, and they're like, "We brought a quart of milk because you're too cheap to let us drink the milk."
Right. That sounds like the most, awkward way to do that. It's like, hey, I would feel awkward as the mom. Mm-hmm. Not even just the person who had someone bring over milk. I feel awkward as the mom that showed up with a half gallon. It's just like hey, good to see you. I brought some milk with me this time because you told me last time it was really a problem.
I don't know. My first thought is, yes, I agree, but then I think that sometimes you go to people's house, you bring stuff, brownies, whatever, and you brought milk instead.
Parents, especially if, say, boys, they just come loaded with stuff anyway.
That's true.
Because boys will terrorize that kitchen. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? You just better show up with a six-pack of granola bars always, and then just be like, "Go get in the back seat, Tom. You know where they're at. Don't take all the food from the people."
Yeah.
Right. Looks like there's room to grow for
both people. In either case, there's a way to tactfully do this, and when I say tactfully, it just means honestly. Why don't you just say this stuff and say, "Hey, man, your kid's drinking all the milk. And second of all, you need to stop working 70 hours a week because you're using it as a fulcrum for every problem you have."
Yeah.
And so, I grew up a single mom. I get it. right? Like, I know where you're coming from. I get what you're saying. I know it's not the life that, you know, that other people have the luxury or comfort of having someone to count on, right? But that does not automatically equal 70 hours a week. It doesn't have to equal that. And so I would take every fiber of your being and try to fight that down to something reasonable.
Yeah, your children want you more. You know, they might say they want the PlayStation, but they really want you.
No. Their children are fools, yeah. Right? They want things all the time. And then they stick their head in a small crevice that won't come out. And then, like, they couldn't have saw this 5 minutes ago when they got their head stuck in the playground, and then the little brother's out there with butter trying to grease them up and pull them back out. And you think, why do I trust these kids' opinion on anything?
Exactly.
Like, they can't do anything right. Ben, you want to do one more?
Yeah, let's do one more, and then we'll do one more song from Testing, and we'll call this a night.
Okay. Oh, boy. This seems to be gossipy wedding talk. Here we go. Mm-hmm. Dear Life from the Path, was I spreading gossip by telling my former husband that our granddaughter's wedding was off? We had just returned from their engagement party. It is my understanding that one wants to cancel while the other wants to go through with it. The wedding is a year away, and this has been the talk of the family for the past 6 months. Apparently, there's been trouble in paradise because she had an affair. As a result, they are now going to counseling. Our granddaughter said that she was going to move back in with her mother for a while. So
what?
I'm just going to recollect what happened here. You wrote someone to ask if you were gossiping, and in the process, you basically told everybody the story.
The answer is yes.
Do you think it's possible that I shared all these explicit details with my family's blah, 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 blah? Do you think I was gossiping? Yeah, I do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You were guilty of that, definitely.
Yep. I would agree with that.
Any dissenting opinions?
No. I think that's pretty that's straight up clear as to what's going on.
Yeah. I mean, maybe by telling her former husband that the wedding was off, I don't think that's gossiping. That's a fact. But then all the things prior to that, or I mean after that, are yes.
Well, and here's the thing. People always, why did you even tell him? You know what I'm saying? Like I don't get it. Like, I struggle with this on occasion, with bringing up things about other people that like, it just has no place in that conversation. It was merely to kick off the conversation. But it was interesting, and we could both agree that said individual is an idiot. And that's why I brought it up. That's for the sole reason, because I wanted to have a connection with the person I was talking to, and we can both agree that this other person made the wrong move. Like that is the worst way to start a conversation, and is beneficial to no one.
Right.
And like, that is exactly what's happened here. Ooh, by the way, did you hear the news about Sarah? Well, Sarah's having a rough time, blah, 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 blah. You didn't need to say any of that, right? And we even do that with our prayer circle sometimes. It's like, well, you should pray for Sarah. Her husband's cheating on her. She's having a hard time. Okay. You know, you could have just said, pray for people in my family, and people would figure it out. You know what I'm saying? So, yes, the truth of the matter is, you are straight-up gossip, and you brought it up for no one's attention but your own. I agree. Mm-hmm. Gossip.
And in the meantime, if I understood the gossip correctly, she's living with her fiancé while having an affair with someone else, and now they're going to counseling.
That was the granddaughter. No.
Right. Isn't that the one getting married, the granddaughter?
Yes.
They then moved back to her mom, and the grandma, who was divorced, was telling her ex-husband, right? There's three generations.
No, you've added something.
Okay, I added something. I added a generation. They're like rabbits.
Here's the secular advice. While news that the wedding may be off should be the privilege of the engaged couple to reveal, agreed, yeah. I don't think telling your former husband there's trouble in paradise and what is entailed was gossip. Disagree. It is not a secret within the family, and her grandfather is a relative, regardless of the fact that the two of you are divorced. You know, I'm just straight up confused by whatever's going on here.
I mean, the wedding's still a year away.
There's a lot of details.
I can't keep track of the family members. Frankly, yes, you were gossiping.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. Stop it.
Okay.
All right. That's hey, if you have a pertinent problem in your life, and
you need someone to be judgmental.
I suppose, yeah.
Go write us in.
Yeah, send us an email at info@lifeinthepath.org. You can go hit up the website, lifeinthepath.org, and check out past clips from the show, including past performances by Tessa Johnson and others, and the two fellows we got coming up in the next couple weeks, Jeff Arendelle and Wayne Stewart, all some clips out on the site. And the interview with Tim Timmons is out there, the John Slater interview is out there. Hey, what is it? We're trying to get a hold of Timmons because what's he doing, Mike?
He started 10,000minutes.com.
What is that?
He's basically covering the time, like, how many minutes were there in a week? I can't remember what it was. But it was like, whatever the minutes are in a week, minus the amount that you're at church on Sunday, the rest is 10,000 minutes.
What does your life look like following Jesus?
Yeah, he said, what if we read this kingdom like it's a 24-hour, 7-day-a-week kingdom? instead of trying to stuff it in an hour and a half or whatever on Sunday.
I love Tim Timmons.
I know.
All right, we'll see if we can get him on and talk to him a little bit more about that, because I'm interested. He's blogging, I think, out there. Mm-hmm. He's doing some posts and things. And so check that. It's 10,000minutes.com. Check that out. But, like I said, there's – hey, and Arendelle. Arendelle was on the CDW.
I saw that.
He was on the early morning television show on Channel 23 today, promoting. And, hey, Most High's on his new album.
Is it?
Yeah, so he's got his new album out, Most High's on there. I'm excited to talk to Jeff, get caught up with him. So he'll be in here next Monday. And then Wayne Stewart is author of When Totems Fall, his first fiction work. You can get that on Amazon coming right up the following week. And then just a week after that, we'll be Bash on the Farm.
Bash on the Farm.
So lots of stuff going on. All right, so we've been talking with Tessa Johnson. And remember, you can find her, I Am Tessa J, on Twitter and Instagram, and Tessa Johnson Music, right,
mm-hmm,
on Facebook. Good. And hey, go out and like that stuff so that you can hear when her tunes are coming out, going to be available on iTunes and like everything else, Spotify and stuff, or just iTunes.
Yeah, it'll be on Spotify too. I haven't decided what other platforms yet, but we'll see. We'll cross that bridge when we come to
it. But think on it. Snapchat doesn't ask about.
Yeah.
Amazon.
That's the best way to
there
do
you
it.
Go. Goes on. All right. So let's send the show out on a musically interesting note. Tell me a little bit about the song "Broke My Heart Again."
So I wrote that song when a really awesome person broke my heart, and I thought, you know, there aren't really any songs like that about people who still have a lot of respect for the person who broke their heart, so that's where that came from.
Hey, man, you're right. You're right. There aren't. There's like a lot of how much that guy stinks or how much I'm moving on or whatever.
Right, right.
Which I could be elements to the tune, I suppose, but like,
yeah.
But otherwise, like recognizing, hey, that's just not, didn't work out.
Right.
Okay.
That's what it's about.
All right, sweet. Well, you've been listening to Live from the Path. We're going to send you out with Tessa Johnson. Make sure you hook up with that on social media so you can find out what she's doing. This is Broke My Heart Again. You've been listening to Live from the Path. Tessa, take it away.
Back to where we begin. I choose you. clock turn back to where we began. If the clocks turn back to where we began, I choose you to pray.